Today's daf from the Sechet Ketuvot, ready for our new perek, perek Nahara Shinitpatata, is a daf mem beis, but we're holding still on mem alav amit beis in the Halakha Mishnah, beginning today the fourth perek. And remember, as we introduced the inyanim in the previous perek, towards the end, the entire idea of our derivation of the way in which the Torah is concerned for the shaktu, so to speak, the shakat HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, on the relationships of a child and of a woman in general. So remember that we have a strange relationship between the earliest stages of childhood all the way through full womanhood in a situation of marriage. And that is expressed in various ways. It's expressed in terms of the dinim and the dorim, where the Torah clearly says that this is all an expression of Bein Av Lebito, along with the Ish V'Ishto. So this is a overall question of making certain that she doesn't damage herself in certain ways, with Nedarim, for instance. But it's also true that the question of providing a home for her, being able to create a marriage for her, and being Zolcha, because of that, in the way that she is set up in the world, is all given binu urea beit avia, is merumas there in the Seder of Nedarim. And what's more, it turns out strangely that the rights to the inyan of Moshe's pegam, and you'll notice also, even in the sugya of the Motzi Shemra, we have the main ideas of et biti natati le'ish hazeh, where we learn out ikur dinim, of the way in which marriage is constructed, and it's all put together in Kitetze, in which the Torah is makpid on the relationship to women. And note that this is not because of the specific connection to Klal Yisrael, because all of those relationships to women are within the context of Kitetze, where the beginning, opening concern is to the way in which a person treats a goyish, a captive, which is the din of Eishes Yefas Tohar, what it is that he's allowed to take liberties with her, what he's not allowed to, how he owes her afterwards, never to take advantage of her. And so it's quite amazing. And that means that overall, there's a getter of shakad HaKadosh Baruch Hu on these inyanim specifically. So if we learn out all of the dinim of Ketuvot, really from Onesu Mefateh, and that's how we understood originally that we're bringing the Inyanim of Onesu Mefateh, then we have to also take into consideration the fact that the idea, either because of Benurea Beit Avia, or because of the fact that the Torah made it biyodo of the father, that Iboy, he could have caused her Boshas Ubgam by giving her over to a Mukashrin, a Nuvel Mukashrin. But whatever the Makar is, the idea of the Mohar HaBetulot, which either Midiraita, or at least as an Esmachta, that was a Machlokas that we had before. We talked about why we put into the Lashon of the Ksuva, the Chozivachi Midiraita, if it isn't really Midiraita, all of those issues we spoke about right away at the beginning of the Masechet, so that it is not in the least bit surprising that we would need to define over here which elements of the protective Knasot are Chayef to her, or are chayev to the father, and what the relationship would be in terms of inheritance on these issues as well. And don't forget, one of the primary questions of the interrelationship between Av Ubito is this question of inheritance as well. That was the whole Benot Slavchad thing, which surprisingly and very strangely becomes related also to the idea of the Heter Nedarim and so on, when it happens through the daughter of Yiftach, and both come together on Tu B'Av. And we were mamishi in that period in which the Torah interrelates these sugyas, which is very, very strange. The issue of Shvua and Neder, which relates to Bein Av L'Bito, which weird with Yiftach, is entirely becomes Bein Av L'Bito, the nature of the Churban in terms of the Arba Tainias, the way that women in general were sensitive to this Maisa to the point where it became an annual festival, so to speak, to mourn over the relationship between Yiftach and his daughter, and so on and so forth. So this is really an extremely rich kind of thing. In this parak, we're going to concentrate on the interrelationship between the chiyuvim of knas and onus mafata and the payment to the father. So before we get to discuss the issues, no, you know what? First, let's do the mission, then we can discuss some of the issues. So let's start at the beginning. Na'arashinit patata, boshta upagma uknasa shelaviha. So remember that by emefuta, because it's a consensual relationship, we do not have a tashlumim of tsar, because being as she is consenting, what tsar is there? And even though we said there is tsar, but it's not a payable tsar, as the Gemara explained before, that when we're talking about a consent, that tsar that ultimately she maybe was going to suffer anyway through her husband, but that tsar is not considered to be tsar when she is not forced into the relationship. But we do have boshet and we do have pagam, which obviously, if it were up to her, then we wouldn't have that either, because consensual is consensual. You know, it's not like nowadays where the girl goes, seduces somebody to get a job in Hollywood and then goes and sues him for rape because she didn't get the job. It's an incredible society of such total and utter violation of all norms. And it's horrifying, literally. But anyway, I mean, they literally kill people, beyond belief. But anyway, Hashem Yishmor. You know, Baruch Hashem Shenatan Lanu Torat Emet, it saved us from all of this horror. So in this case, the Boshet Upagam and the Knas goes to the father because she cannot consent to something that is owned by the father. That's the point. And therefore, since her relationships are owned by the father, she can't consent and be mochel. It's not hers to be mochel, it's the father's to be mochel. That's the whole idea. Which, of course, is a very profound sense of the way in which there is a very deep, the reality is that it's a deep control, but that there's a very deep connectedness, which remember we spoke about in the transition between the prokin, which is there is a family concern. It's not just about her. That was our whole sugi yesterday. But the way in which the world relates to her in terms of her sexual purity is a family matter. So we said yesterday, that is going to sense the importance. And this means that extending throughout the dorot, the behavior of a person is very importantly seen within the context of the entire history of that person, the family of that person. This itself obviously exercises the most powerful impact on the person's relationships, and particularly on sexual relationships. It's because of that the Torah has created this entire structure to make certain that there's this whole inyan of yichus, as we saw before, of the whole inyan of Pinchas, of the relationship to Klal Yisrael, the mishpacha, which is defined by the Av, which becomes Bein Av Labito, and of the nature of Likuchin, which for Yisrael becomes Kiddushin, as opposed to simply Kinyani. So in this case, now this is not a Chiddush. I mean, we spoke about this before, that there is Boshet, Pgam, and Knas in the case of Pitui, and there is also in the case of a Tfusa. The tfusa means a rape. Why do we call a tfusa? Why do we call an ones a tfusa? Because in the pasuk it says exactly those words: kimsa ish nara betula etc. Vitafsa v'shachavima. So therefore, in order to refer to the pasuk, we refer to rape as the tfusa, because that's the point. Grabbing something. That's what it is that we're focusing on. So in that case, there is tsar, and therefore we have four tashlumi. Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, there's no chiddush here. All of that was mentioned in the Mishnah before. We said there were three things that are paid for a befuta, four things that are paid for, what are we doing this again for? So this, we're going to see that the main focus here is in terms of the father's presence. We're going to go through that in the Gemara. Now, what about if she was amda b'din ad shelo meta av, harehin shel av? Now, amda b'din does not mean that she's sued in court. Amda b'din means, as the Tosfos Rit points out, it can't mean anything else, that there was a psak bezdin, that it was owed. So if there's a psak bezdin that it was owed, then it becomes mamon. And therefore, if the father dies, he can be morish mamon to his children. So then it wouldn't go to her. Because once it was defined as legally coming to the father, so then ein achinami. It is part of the Yerusha to his children. However, if it wasn't paskin in court, Barnea, what's wrong with you, Barnea? However, if Loi speak a lot more, but then suppose there wasn't a psak in the courtroom that the money is owed, and then the father dies, so then it goes to her. Why is that? Because a person cannot be morish, the zechuyot that he has to his daughter, to his children. And as far as a chiyavis knas is concerned, a person cannot be morish a knas labona. So therefore, there's nothing here that could go to the children until we're talking about simple momon that is no different than any other momon. So therefore, it would go to her. But now there's some question, we're going to see this as a rather complex sugya. What is the din legabe boshes upagam in these cases? Is boshes upagam linked to the idea of the knas, or is boshes upagam a completely separate issue? This is not at all clear, and there's a lot of discussion first of all, the way that it says over here, Harei Hain Shelavia seems to mean that Hain, as Kol HaTashlumim, are either La'atzmar or La'avia. That's what we're talking about before. So remember that we had the Yesod of Tosfos in the previous parak, that there's a linkage between Knas, which is Tachat Asher Ina, and Michlal, that there are other things. So that links the other things, which is Boshes Upagam, to the Knas. In which case, in the event that the Knas would be paid to her, then so would the Boshes Upagam strangely be paid to her. Now we're going to see that this is a very complex issue, and there's a discussion among the Achronim in a famous Granat from Naftali Trupp that says that there may be two different types of Boshes Upagam, and the question is what was a Tviya on Boshes Upagam? Personally, I find it very unpersuasive, but we'll talk about it when we get to the sugya where it comes from. Okay, so this part, remember, we might not be talking about all of the tashlumin, we might be talking about specifically the knas mashenke bosh tupgam, which is a right to mamon. Maybe that would not go to her. Now, Rabbi Shimon has a very interesting sheet, and he says, forget about the psak bezdin. What defines whether it's hers or the father's is the actual collection. If the father collected the knas before dying, then it becomes part of his estate and he's morish it to his children. But if he doesn't collect it, the fact that we have a psak in the bezdin, which would allow him to collect it, is very strangely not good enough. Now, where in the world would that come from? It turns out that it's a special gzerat hakatuv in this case, which we're going to learn out from the actual special phraseology that occurs only here, as we'll see. But this is a big, big kiddush. So then if it was the sock of the besin, that won't be enough. But remember that Ma'ase Yadeha Umetziatan, anything that she had, she did some work, and she's got a paycheck that's due. Now, that is included in the Benu Ureo Beit Avia, Kol Shevach Ne'urim La'avia. Again, remember, we have two approaches in that. Is it because of the comparison to Benu Ureo Beit Avia, which is really a din in the Dorim, which is Isser, and should not be a Makar for Mamon? Or is it because, since the father has the ability to sell her for work, so to speak, which does obviously, when we use the word sell, I mean, the idea of the amma is that it is a guarantee of work performance, but it's not in any sense ownership of her. It's just that there becomes now a lien that she has to fulfill on she could obviously pay it off. That's the idea of being paid to herself. That's no, we can always do that. And this is true of anybody. So a person can sell himself as an Evet, so to speak, which simply means that he's leaning on himself, the work for the next few years for this person. But if he wants to pay it out and buy it back, he can always do that. That's exactly the way that we need to understand the zechus of the father. But that would mean that the income to her, the father has the zechus on. So in that case, if there was a paycheck due her, which was not collected, obviously, if the father died, they go to the brothers, because that is considered to be straight out mamon. Masha ein kein, the idea of the knas, and possibly, we saw that this was about locus, the other chiyuvim, are not considered to belong to the father until there was actually a real collection. But Rabbi Shimon would never have said that about Masi Adam. For that matter, if she finds something, it also would go to the children. Now, the obvious question is, well, either she did find it or she didn't find it. If she found it, then it was already the father's. And if she didn't find it, so what do you mean? It's coming to her. How is it coming to her? The Gemara is going to ask that question. What are we throwing in Mitziyata? It makes no sense. A paycheck can be coming to her. Anyway, what the heck says the Gemara? Maika Mashmalan, there's nothing new here. I mean, we had this in the Mishnah. We just had this Mishnah like this week to Nina. That's exactly what this Mishnah says. It just says it in different words. Three things, and then additionally, there's tsar for the tvusa. That's just telling me what I know. Yeah, but it didn't say that it goes to her father before. So we need to introduce the idea that it's la via. That's the main focus. Oh, but I mean, obviously it goes to the father. For heaven's sakes, if it doesn't go to the father, there shouldn't be any payment at all. Because she was involved in a consensual relationship. She can go ahead now and sue. Where are we living? In New York? So la via nami pshita. Obviously, if we're including midikayoyev mifateh, the Ila Atzman, what, they're going to be paid to her? Then why would there be any payments at all? Midatavat, she was consenting here. So she can't go and sue for something she agreed to. And remember that we're talking about over here in Nahara. This is a continuation from the beginning of Elu Nahara, as Tosis explains. We're assuming that the entire time, we're not talking about a Kitana Aliba the Rabbanan. We already established that the Mishnah was referring to a Nara Aliba the Rabbi Meir. Remember, we talked that all out at the beginning of the previous parak. And therefore, we're talking about a Nara. She is of the age of consent. And that's why it's obvious that it would be going to the father. Once she's already 12 years old and she's a Gedela, so then why in the world would somebody be sued for a consensual relationship with an adult? Yes, a 12-year-old is an adult, believe it or not. So therefore, the whole thing doesn't mean, no Kiddush whatsoever. Anybody would know this. So why do I need La Via? Answers the Gemara, you are absolutely correct. And the main point of this Mishnah is the discussion at the end of the Mishnah about what point the father becomes the owner of this money. And that is the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, which we never would have dreamt of if the Mishnah hadn't put the whole thing in perspective for us. So first of all, let's think about what Tashlumen we're talking about. And let's think about who is going to be Zoched. And let's think about at what point is going to be Zoched in it. Therefore, we still needed the Mishnah. Because under Bedin it's Tzrichale, which is the Plukta to Rabbi Shimon for Rabbanan, which is a tremendous Chiddush, forcing us to think about the unique situation of a schus that is given to somebody else from the daughter. And this is a very unique thing in the Torah. We're dealing with damages, so to speak, and meisim for one individual, in which the inyonim of the tashlumen and the schus is to another individual. Like, that's, where do we have such a thing? And that raises many serious questions of the interrelationship of the schus. Now, that interrelationship is going to be expressed in numerous subtle ways, which turn out to be interrelated. One of them, which the Mishnah already has been meramis to, is the question of Yerusha. At what point does it belong to the Av in terms of being able to be morishit to his children? But think about the other implications of this question. For instance, would there be a motive iknas pater on it? In other words, suppose a bezdin was mechay, but there hadn't been any collection. Now the father sues the rapist in a different bezdin and says, look, the other bezdin was already mechay of you. So this is pure mama. So don't tell me that you don't have to pay, because when I said to you, you owe me money for raping my daughter, you said, yes, you're right, I raped your daughter. So therefore, I don't owe you money, because I was just made that, right? Made a big glass of butter. No, says the father. The other person already paskined that you were high of that money. So therefore, when I told you that you raped my daughter, I was making a normal monetary, not knas, suit. You can't be moda and then say, ha, it was moda that I owed you $1 billion, therefore I'm putter. It's insane. But what if it isn't really the father's until he actually collects it, which is what Rabbi Shimon says? Does that mean that if the father was tovea him in another bezdin, the guy could still get away with it because it's moda b'knas and it's not yet the father's? Whoa. That's another unbelievable possible implication, correct? Now think about yet another implication. That is the implication of the difference between a tvi'ah on momon versus a tvi'ah in knas. There's one other very beautiful place where it makes a big difference. That is where the person swears that he doesn't owe you the money. Now the Torah has a special halacha called an asham gezelot. An asham gezelot is really a carbon asham that is brought for someone who makes a shvua on a kfira of mamon. So now the question is, suppose the father said, you raped my daughter and you owe me. Is that a kfira on mamon or is that a kfira on knas? If it's a kfira on knas, then you don't have to bring an asham for the shvua. Why? Because that shvua is only made where the suit, excuse me, if you had admitted it, would have forced you to pay. And therefore, the hakhasha and the denial of the chiyuv utilize the shvua to save you from paying. That's where you have to bring an asham. But in this case, if I wouldn't have had to pay it if I admitted it, so then I shouldn't be chayiv on the korban asham gezelot either. So as you can see, there are many different aspects. And what is fascinating is that it turns out that each one of these is independent of the other, amazingly. You would think we have to make one decision about whether we're dealing with mamon or whether we're dealing with knas. And that would apply across the board, but it doesn't. And that's what's going to be so exciting about this sugya today. So, let's go for it. Okay. So now, we have a Mishnah in Shvuas, which is a great place to start with the inyan of the Asham Gezelot. So guy walks he's in front of the court, so obviously if the guy would admit something, you know, so he would be potter if it was a motive knas, and if he would deny it, so then I could sue him in court if I'm able to bring aid him and so on. So the guy says, Anasta ofitita et opitita, means either you raped my daughter, you seduced my daughter, and he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Lo anasta, lo patit. And the guy says, Mashbiacha ani. Well, I'm telling you, I want you to swear to me that that's true. And the guy says, Amen. Now that's the normal way in which we talk about saying a shvua of hakhashat mamon. So he says, Amen, and in the end, he's made. And remember that halacha of the carbon shvua, plus there's an additional fine there of an additional 25%, which is a chomish of the total. There's an additional fine for utilizing a shvua to be makish a tviya of another person. So this would, in that case, if he was made, it's only if he's made that comes into effect, that he has to pay for that additional 25%, and then he has to bring a carbon asher. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, you're putter, because you don't pay a knas al pi atzmo, and therefore, since what we're dealing with over here is a knas, so if you had said, yes, you're right, I did rape your daughter, so then you wouldn't have to pay it. So therefore, you were not using the Shvuah to protect you from payment. On that, there is no din of paying a Chomesh, and there is no din of an Asher Shvuahs. Fine. Say the Chachamim to Rabbi Shimon. That's all very nice that he's not Mashalim Knas Bifnei Atzmo, but we're talking about the guy demanding what comes out of the fact that you raped my daughter, and that includes other things. I mean, so what about the fact that you owe me the Boshet and the Pagam and the Tsar? That's Momon. And if the man denies it with a Shvuah, then he's Chayev on the Momon component. So why would he be Potter according to you? That he would be Meshalim al Piatzmo, Ava Meshalim Boshet to Pagam al Piatzmo. Now, what the Machlokis is over here is not clear at all. I mean, isn't there obviously a actual Hakrosha of Mammon? Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon agree to that? That we will see. But first, we wanted to understand this a little bit better because it sounds like it's across the board. So Abaye asked Rabba, Ha'omer lecha veiro, anasto patita et biti vehemadeticha bedin. So I want to know like this. If he was mechuyev in another best, and now he didn't pay, and now we find him in some other city, the guy was trying to run away, he wouldn't have to pay, we find him, we take him to court, we say, such and such a bezdin was mechayev you back in Yerushalayim, and you already were found guilty, and now I want you to pay. And hamadaticha bedin, and the bezdin paskin that you have to pay, and the guy says, never happened. Lo anasi, lo patiti, lo hamadatani bedin, I know what you're talking about. Lo nitchayavti lechamom, and you're making up the whole thing. And he's nishba, and he's modeh. I would like to know what the din would be according to Rabbi Shimon. Because since according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not considered to be the father's money until such time as it was actually collected. So then it wasn't actually collected. So then could the guy then be meida b'knas and be putter? Well, it's no longer knas, but it's not the father's either. So what would be the halacha about that? Do we say kiven d'amad b'din is considered to be momon vis-a-vis this halacha? And therefore, he would be chayev a korban shvua, or dilma afagav da'amad b'din knas havi. Now, Rabosa, there's two issues here. Note, there is a girsa, as Tosis brings in the Gemara, that says knasu umoda b'knas potter. However, as we're going to see from the continuation of the sugya, that is not necessarily true, and certainly the way Rashi is learning the whole sugya, it is absolutely not true. In other words, there may be two completely different dinim. There may be a halacha of meida b'knas potter, but there may be a clear psak that this is not called meida b'knas, because I'm talking about being meida on something that Besdin was mechayev me. But the question is a unique question about a shvua. Is it considered to be a shvua on a kviras mamain, or is it possible that because in its essence, it began as a knas, then even though the Bezdin paskened, but I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, that psak does not transfer it into the father's mamon, and therefore it's not included in the concept of the din of utilizing a shvua to be makrish mamon. So what would be the din? So Rabbi said to him, well, it's considered to be mamon. And if it's considered to be mamon, he's mechayev a korban shvua. So Abaye taina to Rabba, but that's exactly the point that bothers me. Because why do you say it's considered to be mamon? Rabbi Shimon omer, yachol omer lechaver anasto patita et piti, v'hu omer lo anasti v'lo pititi. Or somebody says, let's move away from this particular sugya of one sumafate. Somebody says, you're sure killed my Eved. The guy says, no way. Or an Eved says to him, hey, boss man, you knocked out my tooth the other day, and that means I go free. And the guy says, no way. Or you blinded me. Simeta teni. He says, never happened. Lo ipalti lo simeti. In all of these cases, the guy was nishba, And then he was made that he had lied. So you might think, okay, this is a classic case of a carbon shvua, right? The guy's made, he said that it never happened. You might think you'd be chayev. Talmud Lomar, therefore, comes along the pasuk to tell me, v'chichesh ba'amito b'pikadon o b'tzumet yad o b'gazel o ashaket amito o matza aveda v'chichesh ba v'nishba al sheker. Now look at this list. The Torah goes out of its way in Tzav to give me a whole list of things. Just say you owe me money. No. It's not just about owing me money. It's about taking something that I gave you to watch for me. It's about something that I lent you. It's about something you stole from me. It's about something that you took away from me, or you didn't pay me what you owe me, or you found my watch and you never returned it. Whatever the case is, you think, so whatever, right? No, not whatever. That's the point, is Rebbe Shimon. It's not whatever. It's a list of things that are all initially pure mama. Now, this case, what? Where's my watch? Well, the watch is the fact that your shor hurt my evet. That's not a watch. That's a knas. Where's my watch? Where's my loan? Where's the mammon that I owe you? Well, yeah, your shor killed my evet. That's not a loan. That's not mammon that I owe you. That's knas. So what you see from here is, says Rabbi Shimon, that if the initial chiyuv came about through something that was not mammon, that's why it brings the case. And notice that all of these cases are cases. You raped my daughter. You seduced my daughter. Wait, what's all of this about? Just say, you owe me 50 shekel. No. Because over here, it's the event that creates the chiyuv, not the pure moment. I can't just relate to it as moment, right? Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, it's a tremendous chiddush. So the Torah is telling you that only a chiyuv that is initiated in terms of moment. So therefore, what do I care? This is what we're going to end up understanding. What do I care if the court already passed and that you owed it to me? It's not the same as a loan, is it? It's not the same as stealing from me. It's not the same as finding my watch and not returning it, even though it's mammon. That's what we're going to end up proving from here. Now let's go through the steps to prove it. Okay. So ma'elo miyuchadim she'im mammon. So just like all of these things are initially mammon. Yotzu elu shein knas, mashenken, all of the things that I just listed are knas. Now, I mean, undoubtedly, the chiyev is talking about over here that the court already paskin, and afapikin, my love, Amar Bedin, and afapikin, Rabbi Shimon is saying, if you're suing the guy for something that the Bezdin already paskin, you do not have to pay. I'm sorry, you do not have to pay the extra 25%, is what I mean. And you do not have to pay the Ashram Gazelas, right? Said Rabbi, no, maybe it's talking about where he was not on it, but then I don't understand. Maybe it's just telling me that there's no din of hakash on a shvua where you're talking about a knas, because Moda B'knas is butter. No, says Abaye, to his Rebbe, remember. No, says Abaye, can't mean that. Because the first part of the Braita is clearly talking about where he was already on Omad B'din. And then that means that the continuation is also talking about where it's Omad B'din. The first part of the Braita was telling me the din of Ali B'de Rabbanan. And they say that in that case, you're chayiv, right? Because it says over there, Diktani Reisha, Ein li ela dvarim shem yishal mim aleyem et hakeren. How do I know tashlumi keifo, tashlumi arba v'chamisha, ones mefatem, etzi shemra minayin? How do we know that even in those cases, you would be chayev a korban shvua? This is according to the Rabbanan, Talmud Lomar, u'mo'alama'al. Mo'alama'al means whatever you did against HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you owed money. Now, you tell me, says Abaye to Rabba. Echidami, what, he wasn't? I made bedin? How are we talking about kefel? How are we talking about arba v'chamisha? There's no such thing. That's a knas. If he's going to agree, then he's not going to have to pay it. If you talk to me about the gezeila, so elapshita, So it has to be talking about over here that there was already a chiyuv. You cannot have a chiyuv of a shvua on kefal. What kefal? First establish that I stole something from you, you idiot. What are you talking to me about chiyuv kefal? So obviously we're talking about that the court established that already. So we're talking about a case where he is asking for money that the bezdin said you have to pay. And the guy comes along and he said, listen, buddy, the court was behind you to pay me five times as much because you stole my shor. And you only paid me the first amount, the value of the shor. I want the rest. And what does it say over there? Well, so of course, you have to pay. It says, umal amal. Is ma ma b'ashem, so that includes even money that the court had already determined. Afal piken, says Rabbi Shimon, no way. It has to be similar to v'kichesh b'amito, either in a tzumet yad or a mitziyah, and so on and so forth, right? So that means that you're wrong. It means Rabbi Shimon is telling us in the case where it was amad b'din, that the halacha is that there is no korban shvua. So Rabbi said, look, my dear Talmud, the truth is I'm not totally convinced of your logic because, I mean, I don't feel that this is fatal to what I told you. I could give you an answer. I just don't like giving answers that I don't really believe myself. But I could give you an answer. But it's a very dochuk answer. So I could tell you, you know, yechilna l'shanu yelucha. Then maybe, I mean, we're talking about two different things. The Reish is talking about Kesha Amad B'din. Rabbi Shimon is not a response to the case of Amad B'din. He's telling me another halacha about Moedah B'knatz, you know? And the Seif is talking about B'shalo Amad B'din. And the whole thing could be true, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. But I'm not going to tell you these kinds of shoehorned answers. Shinuya D'chike lo mishanin alecha. I don't give those kind of answers, as you know, okay? And I'll tell you, because I know what you would say, and I want to get into a whole fight with you. You would say to me, well, I mean, if you're telling me the whole thing is going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Could you tell me why it introduces smack bang in the middle of Rabbi Shimon Omer? You should either say at the end, Divrei Rabbi Shimon, or you should say at the beginning, Rabbi Shimon Omer. You don't say in the middle, Rabbi Shimon Omer. And I would have to admit that, well, yeah, that is a little suspicious. So you would say, Amritli, listnei Reisha Rabbi Shimon Omer, listnei Seifa Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So fine, I'll go along with you, okay? We're talking about, the whole thing is Bishra Amad B'din. And I go along with you that the Reisha is the Rabbanan or Argan Rabbi Shimon, and the Seifa is going Alibid Rabbi Shimon. And the point over here is, when I said that Rabbi Shimon, so Tosis explains that, look, Rabbi had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe. The Kabbalah was that it's Momon. So he assumed, the way we would have thought, that it's Momon across the board. When Abaya showed him this Braita, he realized that that Kabbalah was not interpreted properly by him. And I never should have said it's Momona and therefore. That doesn't follow. Because it may be Momon in terms of one thing. What, for instance? Being Morishi to his children. That if he dies, the children get it. That's a din of Momon. It's not a din in knatz, right? Another morish knatz levana. Okay, so his child would get it. That's what I was taught, that it has a din of momon once the bezdin is koveya de tashlumi. So that's lahorisho levanav. So even though before bezdin paskins that, we have a late gershi, we have a hungry gershi.
I've been here just in the background, sorry.
So he was only referring to the halacha of it's true. We're talking about that before the Bezda Paskin, it couldn't be Morish Lebanav. And therefore, if he would have died before the Bezdin was Koveya the Chiev, so then it would mean that no, he wouldn't be able to give it to his children. But in this case, it's Momon already, and therefore it will go to his children. That's what I meant. I made a mistake. Masha Einkein, when it comes to this issue is a different issue. I agree that Rabbi Shimon is bringing up a new point, which is that something that is initially mammon, there, there's a din of akasha with a shvua. But something which is currently mammon, which you would have thought, okay, so then it's like anything else, right? No, it's not like anything else. That's why we had that whole list. How did it originally become dumi? Did it become dumi because I made you a loan? Did it become dumi because I had given you my watch to watch? And is that the point? Or because you knocked out the tooth, or because of the shor shehemit, or because you raped my daughter? That's the point. I made a mistake. In that din, there's a special halacha that Rabbi Shimon is talking about. Says Abaye, that's not good enough for me. Because what you're doing is you're distinguishing mammon in terms of the Yerusha versus mammon in terms of the Chiyav of Shvua, right? But that's not what Rabbi Shimon says. And this is Rabbi Shimon, as you've agreed. It says so beferish. So, according to the Mishnah here in Ksuvos, you've got a problem. Because what does Rabbi Shimon say over here? Rabbi Shimon Omer, forget about going to court and having the court paskin. Forget about it? But Rabbah, your entire idea now was the difference between the court paskinin. You said if the court paskins, it goes to the sons. Well, that's not what it says here in Ksuvos. In Ksuvos, it says that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you didn't actually collect it, not if you didn't get a psak in Bezdin, but if you didn't actually collect it, so then it goes to her. By the way, it's not clear whether that means it goes to her in terms of the cash, or that the chiyav reverts to her, and therefore, since it was a consensual relationship, there's now no chiyav at all, because now it's all her department. That's an interesting machlokas rishoni, right? But okay, let's set that aside. But what Abaye is tying to Rabbi, you can see the beautiful interrelationship between all these issues. Wow. Okay. So, but what I'm pointing out to you, says Abaye to Rabbah, is that Rabbi Shimon is saying that you're wrong. And that the fact that it accrues to the father in terms of the rights as defined by the court does not mean that he's Morishit Lebanav. So therefore, even this doesn't help. The Iyamrit Mamona, you're claiming that you have a Kabbalah that it's Mamon. So then you thought that meant Mamon across the board, even Legabe, the Hakosha in Bezdin. I proved to you that that wasn't right. So you said, okay, so then the Kabbalah that I had must have meant it's Mamon in terms of Yerusha. Now I'm showing you it's not even Mamon in terms of Yerusha. So what are you going to do now? So what were you Mekabo when you told me, do you have a Kabbalah that it's Mamon? Because if you're going to try to tell me that it's Mamona Lahavi Morsha La Alarisha Levanav, so what does the Mishnah say goes to her? It should go to her brothers, who are the Yorshim. So you have not answered your problem. Amarava. No kidding. 22 years. This has been a problem. What do you think? You just discovered America? Hi Milta Kashoy Be Rabba Rav Yosef Esrim Vitartin Shnin. Rava says about this question that was asked to Rabba. You should know that Rabba and Rav Yosef together were having this problem for 22 years that they worked on this sugya. It's like it just doesn't make sense. Is it Mammon? Is it not Mammon? Velo Yifrak, they could not figure it out. And then when Rabba died, you remember the whole story that when Bat Rav Chisda was a little tiny girl and her father said, when he had these two very sweet Talmidim, Rav Yosef and Rabba, and they were coming to the house, they were eating over Friday night. He's got his little girl on his lap, Rav Chisda. So he says, so tell me, little one, which one do you want to marry? And she says, both. And Rav Yosef says, I'll be second. So sure enough, she marries Rabba, and then 22 years later, when he dies, which is, of course, connected to Rabbi Yosef, who was away from the family for 22 years, this is Rabbi Yosef. In that sugya, he's defined as being Koyach Shor of Yosef HaTzadik. That's why it's 22 years, because he's Sinai, and Rabba is Eker Horim. Fine. So because of that, 22 years later, Rabba dies. He says, okay, now I'm second. So he marries her. But at that point, he became the Rosh Yeshiva instead of Rabba. Now, everybody figured, oh man, this is a real Yerida, because Rabba was famous as this incredible genius who was like, whoa, that's why they called him the Oker Harim. So now they said, okay, so now we got Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is only a Sinai. So he knows everything. That's wonderful. But we're not going to get any like really profound discoveries from Rabbi Yosef, right? And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezakeh him on that day that he became Rosh Yeshiva, that he figured out the answer to this question of 22 years. So people should say, see, Rabbi Yosef is pretty smart. He was Zocha, now that he became Rosh Yeshiva, to give us the answer that Rabbah couldn't come up with all of those years. But anyway, so what, by the way, it's very interesting that Bismanenu, it was very, very much exactly the same situation between the two Gedolei Ador, which was the Brisker Rav and the Chazon Ish. It's exactly this Nakuda. Everyone related to the Brisker Rav as Oker Horeb. That was the whole point of Brisk, was the ability to take mountains and grind them together to be able to come out with the sharpest definitions and subtle definitions. But there were only a few selected sugyas that he was able to work on that darga, obviously. You know, so Talmidim would give out the mimeographed sheets about Shiurim that weren't yet printed. But if you take a look in the introduction to the actual printed Sefer, the Talmidim that put out the Sefer point out in the introduction that these are the only absolutely finished sugyas that the Rebbe came up with. They didn't want to give their gushpanka on all those mimeographed sheets. Okay, which I have, but fine. Now, on the other hand, there was the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish knew everything. Chazon Ish wrote on everything. There wasn't anything that there isn't a massive, thick sefer of the Chazon Ish al X and the Chazon Ish al Y. The entire Torah is covered by the Chazon Ish. But nobody compared the Svara, the Akira Sarim of the Chazon Ish, to the Brisker Rav. So this was like two completely different ways of learning. And had like each, that's the Kolel Chazon Ish, that's the Bnei Brak approach, and Ad Hayom Hazeh, right? And then you have the Briskers, the Yerushalayim, and everything else. And it's exactly this Nakuda. So this went on here for 22 years. This is fascinating to see the translation of the Inyanim in the Gemara. And what was the answer that Rabbi Yosef gave? Rabbi Yosef says that Rabbi Shimon had a completely different source for this idea, that it's not considered to be the fathers until such time as it's Gavui. And that's because we never, Gavi, this is your sugya and you hide yourself. It's only if it's Gavui that it becomes the fathers. And now, look at this. And now it wasn't Gavui, therefore it's not the fathers. How do I know that? Because in every other case, when you're talking about giving a knas, it never uses the word vinatan. And over here, it uses the word vinatan. It says, vinatan ha'ish ha'shochevi ma'lavi ha'na'arach ha'mishim kesem. And that means that the Torah is giving it to the father only from that moment of netina. Lo zichta Torah. La'av ela misha'at netina. Make sure that you hear this piece that you missed, Gav. This is really very fascinating. Lo zichta Torah la'av ela misha'at netina. And therefore, when Rabba said that it's Mamona, his Kabbalah was absolutely true. But it was in terms of every other knas in the Torah except this one, because of that special word. Chaim. Wait a minute, says the Gemara, but I mean, how about Shloshim Shalevet? It says, Kesef Shloshim Shkalim Yitain Ladonav. I mean, that's also Nitina. And you're telling me every other Knas, isn't this one of the Knas? So say the same thing over there. Hachinami lo zichtat Torah la'adon ela mishat Nitina? No, says Rabbi. It's not the same. That was what Rav Yosef was machadish. Yitain l'chud, v'natan l'chud. Note the difference. Yitain means in the future. He should. But Vinatan means he already did. That's the point. And therefore, it is a unique din that it does not become his until the end. Tosis points out, but wait a minute, by Mochi Shemra, it says, Vinatnula Vihanara. So isn't that the same as Vinatan? Says Tosis, no, because Vinatnu is just the universal description of what needs to be done. But it's not describing an actual netina. That's because it's Belashon Rabbim. It's not referring to the case. Huh? So it's truly unique. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says in this absolutely unique case that indeed it's not considered to be momon. Masha Enkein, in all the other cases, it is momon partially. It's momon in terms of Yerusha, but it's not momon in terms of Akasha for Shvua. When it comes to this, then it's not even momon for Yerusha. You see the different levels here. And that's why we need to investigate every last aspect of it, because there are so many different shmuel you're looking down. You can't look down at an exciting sugya like this. Put on a smile. Shmuel! His internet is dead. He's locked into misery. There we go. Okay. So this is, therefore, an actual special case. And that explains everything, including the uniqueness of our sugya as well. Says the Gemara, no, something's wrong with your analysis. Because how do you explain the fact that Rabbi Shimon, when he said that in this case, he said, in this case, the halacha is that it would not be mechuyev, a shvua, he said, because the Torah said v'kichesh. That's what I asked you from the Braita, and Rabbi Shimon was the one who said that since it says v'kichesh ba'amito specifically in terms of a pikadon or a tsumes yad or a mitziah, well, he should have said, because the Torah said v'natan, which is a much more fundamental problem in our case, because it even mitigates the din of momon in terms of Yerusha. Why did he bring up v'kichesh, which is not true? It isn't necessary because the father didn't get it, just because the Besdin paskin, you see? So something is wrong even with this explanation in terms of Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rava, you're right. He should have said Talmud Lomar v'natan, but Rabbi Shimon wanted to mention v'kichesh because of a very important sub-issue, which is, in a case where she was Amda Bedin and the Besdin Paskin. Now listen to this, because this is the same, you would think, I mean, it's amazing, you'd be absolutely certain. And when you realize the subtlety of the questions of halachas, how easy it is to make a mistake, because it looks like 100% the same case, right? And so often there's this little piece that makes all the difference in the world that you didn't even know existed. Obviously, this happens in nature as well, especially in medicine, right? Where you have like so many different factors. It all adds up and you have these statistical correlations. Thank you very much. You forgot about something that you never even heard of. That turned out to make all the difference in the world. That some crazy off-the-wall gene that nobody realized played any role in this illness actually is a combinatory issue with various environmental factors and things that the person had been drinking, whatever. And, oh my God, I never would have sounded like a typical case. Exactly. That's why we say, Havi Mitunim Bedin, is exactly that point. Don't ever say, but I know this already. It's obviously one. It isn't ever obviously one. So here, there's a fantastic sugya to bring this out. So we have exactly the same sugya on the surface, where Rabbi Shimon argues with the Chachamim about another case as well. What happens where the child was Amda Bedin, and then after the court paskined, she became a Bogeret, and then she died before she collected? So there we have a question. Because over there, in that case, let's say she doesn't have any children, so who's Yorisher? The father is Yorisher, right? Okay, now dig this. The father goes and he sues. So since he is suing for something that the court decided was already owed him, Rabbi Shimon says, but it isn't owed him because he didn't collect yet. Yeah. But where do we say that you need collection only on V'natan la Aviha Nara? But we don't say it V'natan la. So now he's inheriting the right to Mammon. And therefore, we take Rabbi Shimon and we say, okay, Rabbi Shimon, so according to you, in this case, the din would be that there would be a chiyav on hakrashat shvuah, right? Comes along Rabbi Shimon and says, wrong, because you forgot another issue. In this case, we bump into the vikichesh problem. Since the Torah says the only time that you're chayav a korban shvuah, Alon, you're not paying attention, this is subtle. Since the only time that the Torah says that you're chayev is in a case where the initial chayev was mammon, in a tzumet yad, and this was not one of those cases. So even though this is referring to one sumifata, it is still true that in the broadest sense of the world, the father can never sue, even when it's coming through the zechus of a best, and that said it was mammon to the daughter, which is then inherited by him, he'll still run into a problem of the chiyuv of the extra 25% of the korban shvuah. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, you think that the more fundamental issue that I should have mentioned was vinatan, right? But had I said that, you would have made a terrible mistake in cases where there was no vinatan. That would be where she actually was zoicha, died before she collected, was morish hers was to the father, who then turned around and sued the guy, and there was no need for it to already be collected, and nonetheless, there would be a tour from Shua. Brilliant. So therefore, I said the more general din, not the less fundamental din, you see? I figured out what you got wrong. So therefore, kagon sha'amda b'din u'bagra v'meita, where over there the father is inheriting her. And therefore, mina didaka yaris, and you would think that he should go ahead and be able to collect. But wait a second, if that's the point that you're telling me, that even if it is considered to be mammon, the issue is whether it originated in mammon, then why did Rabbi Shimon say Yotzu Elo Shehin Knas? Why does he say these things are not included because they're a knas? They're not a knas, they're mammon. The only issue was that they started with a knas. So why did he say they are a knas? They're not a knas. The way you figured it out, mammonim. So they should all be Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak means Yotzu Elo Sheikaran Knas. Since they started from a knas and they did not start from mammon, they're not included because of the pasuk of a kichesh in this chiyuv. That's the point. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop here early. I also feel no, but nobody else is saying no. Only Shmu is saying no. If anybody else would say no,
I'll also say no, because that way I have to walk out to meet my group. That means follow the boundaries of Shemitah.
That means you're saying yes.
I would appreciate if we stopped now.
That means you're saying yes. You're not agreeing with Shmu that it's no. You're very confused. Mm-hmm. I don't see anybody else begging to continue.
Man, meeting in 4 minutes.
Everybody's got a reason.
And us working folk, I tell you.
You know, remember we had the sugya about a bolesha chibola year? So we said there may not be time to pour out the wine for religion, but there's certainly time for sex. Now, since the Torah says that learning Torah is the full equivalent of the joys of such issues, therefore everybody should say, the heck with my meeting. I mean, you can't get me to go to a meeting in the middle of knosses interruptos. And therefore, I should definitely vote yes. Yeah. All right, I'll have to let you go.
Well, it's yes, no, or it's no yes. I'm confused.
That's a fine mess we've gotten into.
It's going to take me all day to figure out this one, you know.
Fine. It's a fine mess. It's a knas mess.
Are you? Okay, everybody, Bezrat Hashem, we have to be Zeicher tomorrow now. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't interrupt all of this fun that we're having in his Torah, right? So we can hope to meet tomorrow. Kol tov, everyone.